Meg Gillard will now share our scripture reading.
This is the reading from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 20. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. For he has been raised, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you, Meg. The women went to the tomb that morning to grieve. Jesus was dead, suddenly gone from their lives. And like so many people right now in this country and around the world, there had been no chance for a funeral, no opportunity for the rituals of burial. On Friday, right before Sabbath sundown, Joseph of Arimathea had been able to get permission to take Jesus' body, and he had wrapped it in a linen cloth and put it in the tomb that he had planned to use for himself. But then it was Sabbath, and nothing more could be done. Everyone had been left to weep alone, heartbroken, with no sense of what to do next, and fear about their own lives and what might happen to them. But when the Sabbath was over, early, early in the morning, the women went back to the tomb to grieve. It was the only place they had to connect them to Jesus, whom they had lost. And so they went back to weep, to mourn. They needed to feel their pain and to grieve all they had lost with Jesus dying. They had a sense that they couldn't run away from it. They needed to take in the bitter reality of what had happened and try to figure out what it meant for their lives. I think this may be where we have to start this morning. It's Easter morning, but maybe we need to begin with the women in the need to feel pain and loss and to grieve whatever we need to grieve. Because we are in the middle of a very difficult time. There is suffering and loss happening across our world, and we're all part of it. We are all impacted by it. We are made aware every day of grief that is happening. And we all have our smaller losses to grieve. The loss of being able to be together in person. Not being able to gather together as a church family or with family and friends the way we usually do to celebrate Easter. Struggles about doing work and school from home, feelings of being isolated or lonely, feeling that we've lost our freedom, Some of us are also dealing with financial pain, trying to figure out what this means for our jobs and our businesses. Others of us have already lost special events, birthdays and births and anniversaries didn't get to be celebrated the way we'd like. And we're all feeling the uncertainty and even fear. What more losses are coming? And how long is all this going to last? There is a lot to feel right now. Pain, grief, and even fear. And I think when we gloss over it and try to deny it, it doesn't help us. Honesty about those painful, difficult feelings is part of where we have to begin. I read an article in the last week or so by someone who described themselves as a young adult, a millennial, and they were challenging others of their age, of their generation. Don't just get caught up in trying to distract yourself constantly, trying to entertain yourself all the time. Don't keep trying to stay busy all the time. This is our chance, the writer said, the chance we say we've been wanting, to slow down and be less driven, less frantically active. I think we all know something about what the writer's talking about, don't we? We're Americans. We know a lot about how to seek entertainment and distraction. But to take the opportunity this crisis presents us for some space and some time, we have to be willing to confront our feelings, the hard feelings. We have to be brave enough to own our grief and our fear. So the women came to the tomb grieving. But then suddenly there was an earthquake and an angel descended. In the words of one commentator I read, Melinda Quivick, the women experienced the earth shaking, and to them the angel looked like lightning, a sizzling power fraught with danger. The word that gets translated here, suddenly doesn't really convey the truth about what was happening. Light had split a crack in the universe, and everything we thought we knew was changed. In this earth-shaking, angel-coming-like-lightning moment, the guards were so scared that they fainted. But the women stayed awake. They stayed present in spite of their fear. And the angel's first words to them were words of comfort. Don't be afraid. And then the angel spoke words of hope. Hope that seemed impossible. I know you're looking for Jesus, the one who was crucified. But he is not here. He has been raised. Come and see the place where his body lay. The angel invited them to look, to see the evidence, see the empty tomb and the cloth that had been cast aside. And then the angel said, go quickly. Tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him. The women saw, and then they ran from the tomb, full of fear and great joy. They ran to tell the disciples, but suddenly they saw Jesus. Jesus met them. Again, Melinda Quivick comments that this second suddenly in the story is when they meet Jesus. Suddenly there was a great earthquake. Suddenly Jesus met them. In other words, she says, to meet Jesus is for the ground to move beneath you. Nothing remains as it was. In this story, she says, fearing and seeing are held together in the presence of the holy. Perhaps we cannot see what is truly important without also experiencing fear. And we cannot meet Jesus without being shaken. The women saw Jesus. They fell to his feet and worshiped him. And again, his first words were comfort. Don't be afraid. Don't stay in your fear. Don't get stuck there. Let in the hope. Let in the great joy. The world has been transformed. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. For Matthew, the risen Christ was not to be found in Jerusalem, not at the temple or at the cross or the empty tomb. For Matthew, the risen Christ was to be found back in their ordinary lives, back in Galilee. The message was clear. Christ has been raised from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him. It is a promise that wherever followers of the risen Christ go, he is always there. He is always going ahead of us, always leading the way. There is nowhere we can go that is beyond his presence. Matthew's gospel ends a few verses later with the promise, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Christ is present in every place and every time. Christ is available in the midst of our fears, in the middle of our pain and grief, at the heart of our losses and struggles, always with us. Christ is with us in life, in death, in life beyond death. And so for us as people of faith, in the midst of our griefs and our fears, there is also this great joy that is possible. The joy of God's love holding us. The joy of our communion with Christ and with each other. The joy that springs up out of the cold darkness of our most difficult times. In Paul's words, we know that in all things God is always working together for good for those who love God, who are called according to God's purpose. So who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? No. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that there is neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Death, Paul says, has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are people of resurrection faith. We believe in a risen Christ whose power did not end with a cross and a tomb, but burst forth in earth-shaking, universe-cracking light and love. No longer bound by place or time, his spirit sweeps throughout the cosmos. He is one with all that is. He is the firstborn of the new creation, the inbreaking of God's presence in a whole new way. And he comes to us, to each one of us, in our fear, in our grief, in our pain. He calls us to lean into hope, to trust our lives to the risen Christ, whose love is more real and true than anything else in all creation. He summons us from our fear and despair, and he invites us. He urges us to open ourselves to joy, the great joy that is deeper than any circumstances of our lives. Weeping may linger for the night, but in Christ, joy always comes in the morning. Christ is risen. Hallelujah.